I'm Tommy Gimler. A mom recently ran onto the field at her high school son's lacrosse game to save him during a skirmish, which is a good move as a mom if you want to see your kid get his ass kicked every single day at high school.
And I'm Colby Dent. I am 14-3-1, gambling against the spread for my locks in college basketball. So unlike my girlfriend, you're going to want to listen to what I have to say.
Wow, that was really good, man. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for the beer.
The Daily Upper-Decker, nothing but sports and crap.
All right, Colby Dan from the Sports Gambling Podcast. Great to have you here because we're going to talk some college basketball. I was like, you know, we could have gotten Dick Vitale,
yeah,
Pat Forty, all those guys. But I honestly think that they know less about college basketball than the average person. Plus, I had it at 4-1 that you couldn't read. So I'm already losing.
Yeah, baby.
I'm already losing. So we've got stand-up comedian Colby Dant, also from the Sports Gambling Podcast, with our good friend Sean Green. Talk about that a little bit. He's been on a roll.
Yeah. Sean started this sports website, sports gambling website, I think 4 or 5 years ago with his buddy Ryan Kramer. I strongly urge you to check out their stuff. On the Twitter feed would be at Gambling Podcast, and then the website would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And, yeah, I'm a writer over there. I write for a couple articles a week. I cover college football and college basketball against the spread. Mm-hmm. And we've had some pretty good success with it.
Has he changed? Because he's a huge Eagles fan.
Has he changed?
Has he kind of changed his tone a little bit? A little too cocky right now?
I'm just going to tell you about his past year. Mm-hmm. All right. Sean Green, by the way, is a comedian friend of me and Tommy's. And he first goes to Vegas the first weekend of the NFL season. And he wins $200,000 on a DraftKings lineup.
Come on.
I swear to God. $200,000 on a DraftKings lineup.
Wow.
I've
honestly never known anybody who's won more than like $1,000 on anything.
He submitted $20 and won a draft. He almost won $1 million, but the Colts backup quarterback, Jack.
It's usually like a Badgers, like Brooks Bollinger.
It was before they traded for Brissett.
Okay.
Threw a pick six to LaMarcus Joyner for the Rams. So he was about to win $1 million with like 5 minutes left.
Because the other dude had the Rams defense or something?
Yes.
Oh, man.
He lost $800,000 on that pick, but I'm not really mad at him because he still won $200,000.
See, it would be awesome to find out who that quarterback was, because I think he was probably like
Tolzer or something. Scott Tolzer?
Oh, yeah.
Scott
Scooter Tolzer.
Yeah, something like
Scooter Tolzer, former Badgers guy.
Yeah, that's right.
So it would be awesome to find Scott Tolzer and just say, like, you owe me $800,000.
Man.
So he's got to, now that he's rolling, he's got to get Scott Tolzer. Somewhere along the way, someone's got to have his agent, his agent's number, something like that. You got to get him on the gambling podcast.
If he's out there, because I don't even know if he's still on, I imagine he's the third string on the Colts. But, I mean, come on. We'll pay him. We'll pay him some money. You know what I mean?
I think he qualifies for the XFL. So as long as you just start running a couple miles a day, he will be good to go by the time.
He might have gotten a DUI while he was at college or something.
That'll make him a first round draft pick in the XFL.
No, Vince McMahon's new rules. Did you read about those?
What, if you get a DUI, you can't play?
Anyone with a previous DUI or have been arrested, not allowed to be drafted.
Wow, my not Aunt Patsy to, won't be playing. She's got five of them.
Who's going to play on this team? Or who's going to play in this league?
Right.
I'm sitting there like, dude, that's the worst thing you could say.
It's going to be like unbelievable. On Memphis, we have the starting lineup for the Yale Bulldogs from 2013.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Right? But hold on. So Sean Green hits for $200,000, let alone he won $1,000 the day before in college football. But then he hits for $200,000. Then the Eagles, his favorite team, who have never won a Super Bowl, has one of the best regular seasons, right? He wins a lot of money betting on the Eagles. Then he gets,
which is like the first time in a long time anybody can say that.
Yeah,
it's been a
exactly.
while.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Jets fan. That'd be like the Jets doing that. You know what I mean? And then he gets, you know, his girlfriend. He gets engaged, right? So he's newly engaged a week before, I think, Christmas, and then he bets heavy on the Eagles to win all these playoff games in the Super Bowl.
Where they were dogs.
Yeah,
they were dogs.
So he's had like the year of his life, man.
Well, if you're out there listening right now, Sean Green, you do yourself a favor. You take your fiance out to a nice steak dinner.
Exactly,
because
man.
Because you're due to get hit by a bus.
Yeah, I'm sorry to spill the beans, man, but you've had too much luck for one man. I can never recall a year like that. Can you recall a year in your life, Tommy, where you had all those things line up?
Well, I had Katie say yes, my wife.
Yes, but that's 1 year, right? You didn't win a bunch of money, did you? Did you land a super
good
job that year?
I might have won my fantasy baseball league that year, so it was like $400.
Hey,
so she said, yeah, it's $400 right? bucks. Yeah. Last time I was in Vegas, I hit a six teamer.
Yeah. Okay.
For,
wow.
Like for $948.
Okay.
But then, you know, okay. you know, the Packers didn't win the Super Bowl. It
yeah.
wasn't, yeah,
yeah.
It,
you
it,
were
it
close.
Wasn't like,
you
yeah,
had
wasn't
some,
like
you had a good year,
yeah.
but I mean, his year is just fucking crazy.
Unbelievable. All right. So make sure you check it out. It's the Sports Gambling Podcast at Gambling Podcast, on Twitter, and then sportsgamblingpodcast.com.
Correct.
Online. Yeah. So we've got Colby, Dan here. We're going to, your specialty right now is college basketball.
College
so that
basketball,
is why
man.
You're here because yeah. Adam Furberg, Barry Murphy, Kelly Hayes, Justin Gilbert, they don't know shit about college basketball. So basically, right people want to know about college basketball because basically no one knows anything about it. No one has watched yeah. college basketball all year. They don't start until March. So that's why you're here
yes.
later on. But
yes.
first, it's time for the hot mess.
The right. hot mess.
So you're talking about Sean Green winning $200,000. Multiply it by 10, and that's what Jerry Jones is going to have to pay Roger Goodell.
I love it, by the way.
It's pretty crazy, basically. The NFL is expected to have Jerry Jones reimburse the legal fees. So somewhere along the way, like, I don't know, like 20 years ago, I think it was like something from like 20 years ago in the new bylaws or in the collective bargaining agreement, somewhere it was written that if you take the NFL to court or if you take another owner to court, you will have to reimburse his legal fees
if you lose.
So over this whole like Ezekiel Elliott thing and whatnot, and then trying to delay Roger Goodell's contract.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you throw all of your, like, you won, let's say you won $200,000 at DraftKings,
yeah.
and then you go and give it to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
say, hey,
exactly,
you're
going
right?
to
be my president. and then you lose, and Donald Trump finds out that you gave $200,000 to Hillary Clinton. He's going to try and make your life a living
exactly.
hell.
Exactly,
and that's exactly what's going on here. So, according to Ian Rappaport over at the NFL, clarity on the NFL and the Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. It's not a fine. It's a reimbursement of costs incurred by member clubs, more than $2 million. The resolution has been on the books for more than 20 years. Goodell did this after consulting with owners. So basically, it sounds like Roger Goodell came in and like got all his buddies
yeah,
around.
Like, was
like,
Arthur
Blank
yeah,
and
yeah.
you know, a couple of cheeseheads from Green Bay. And he's right. like, hey, what can we do to really shove it up Jerry Jones' pee hole here?
Yeah, you got to love the you know, the pissing contest that's going on. Because what's $2 million? Goodell's making, what, $50 million a year? I feel like
I think
something
so,
like
40.
That.
I think it's 40 okay. over 5 years. 40, I mean, 40 a year over 5 years.
I mean, so what's $2 million? Really to the NFL, too. That's not even coming out of his pocketbook. Right.
That would be like yeah. you finding me $5.
Exactly. And even to Jerry Jones, it's nothing. But it's just the fact that you have to do the paperwork. You have to hire the lawyers. You got to mm-hmm. – it's. I love it. I love the move. I you know, as a lifelong Cowboy hater – I love that move by Roger Goodell because I've been a skeptic on Goodell for a long time with a lot of good reason, and I'm loving this move here. He's starting to win me back a little bit. It's kind of like Dan Snyder. You know what I mean? Like Dan, right. Dan Snyder, I grew up in Washington, D.C. I hated Dan Snyder taking over the team. He changed the way everything because I used to root for the Redskins too. And but he kind of, you know, I know this is a podcast, and I don't know what your feelings are on being named Redskins, but I kind of love how he's doubling down on the name Redskins. And I'm not a racist either.
That's
I'm just
right.
saying.
My wife is 10% Cherokee, but she's in the other room, so you can say it. Go ahead, man.
But I just find it hilarious that he's doubling down on this. And then, like, you have, you know, what, Phil Simms, who as announcing, he won't say the Redskins team name. I've been praying. I'll
so,
be honest.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Phil Simms won't say the Washington Redskins.
Yes.
But he will fart in the booth.
Exactly,
Jim
right?
You know? In a little, like, 4x6 booth. Right? He will just drop his ass after eating, like, catered
I
tacos.
Saw that.
Unbelievable,
dude! But I've been you know secretly hoping you know not and once again this has nothing to do with Native Americans. Like I just find it funny that so many people get worked up mm-hmm. that I find it funny that so I've been secretly rooting for a Redskins Chiefs Super Bowl for a long time, a long time now.
Or somehow the Cleveland Indians and
exactly
and,
man.
Yeah all right
and it, yeah but anyway yeah so.
All right. Well, that didn't take long. Hey, we're not even 9 minutes into the podcast and we're already getting a little some racial tensions. We're on our first story. That's
yeah.
that's unbelievable. Well, you can check us out every single day on dailyupperdecker.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. And we used to do the Vine, but I don't think that exists anymore, so
yeah.
I stopped doing that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not wasting time. We're having, our intern, Rakesh, might still be using the Vine, but I don't think that works anymore. So I think one of the craziest thing, if you are a Cowboys hater, you're loving this like
yeah.
you. But if you are a Cowboys fan, like our good pal Adam Furberg, this just has to –
the icing
just,
on the cake, right?
It just has to kill you because it's just another, like, just shot to the ribs
yeah.
for Cowboys fans. And really, if you look at it, it's nothing more than Roger Goodell being so butthurt by this one guy who didn't want to get him signed
yes.
or, you know, remain the one guy who didn't want him to remain the owner.
But to play devil's
The commissioner, I'm sorry.
Yeah, to play devil's advocate though, Jerry Jones a lot of times stuck his neck in a lot of business that was not Dallas Cowboys business. Mm-hmm. Even the Rams moving to Los Angeles, you could argue St. Louis fans will tell you this, that he went out of his way to do this.
That Jerry Jones went out of the way to move the Rams from St. Louis.
From what I understand, he was like kind of like the big wig that made it happen.
Okay.
Like. He needed support from the owners. And Jerry Jones, he just seems like, to me, the owner that is above almost all owners. You know what I mean? Like, he tries to, just like he tried to do with the Goodell thing, essentially, with the contract renewal. You know what I mean? He tries to flex his muscle and be buddy-buddy with all these other owners and say, you know, I think it was Jerry Richardson who despised him.
All of a sudden, it's like he's no longer an owner. Now he's Tom Cruise and Jerry Maguire, where he's like, who's coming with me?
Well, he had his own issues on the way he ran his organization. But my point is that Jerry Jones, kind of, in my opinion, has had this coming. You know, come on, you really think this guy's a good guy, Jerry Jones? At the end of the day, you think he's a good guy?
No, he's never given me any money.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy. I think there's a scumbag there. You know what I mean?
Of course, he's a scumbag.
Oil tycoon.
Most NFL owners are scumbags. If you look at like the owner of the Vikings, that dude dicked out a shit ton of people. I think his own family in some like apartment deals in the Southeast or something like
that.
And he
dicked
over a lot of poor people.
I mean, Dan Snyder's a complete scumbag. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
By me saying that, he's a complete scumbag. If it was me, I would have changed the Redskins team name. But I appreciate the fact that he goes against all these people saying these things. It's, you know.
Well, some of these guys, too. Like, it's just kind of like, you know, do not fuck with me. This is mine. I'm going to make sure that no one's going to change this. If I'm going to change it, it's going to be because I want to change it.
No one's going to come here
and tell me
how
to
run my thing. Essentially,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So when that happens, right? So all the Cowboys fans are butthurt that Jerry Jones has to pay these fines or whatever. there's literally maybe just a smidge of room left in their pee holes because there's an oversized screwdriver just being jammed up every Cowboys fan's pee hole. Just when you thought that it was like impossible to go even further, the NFL Competition Committee comes out and says that the Dez Bryant 2014 playoff catch that was like not a catch and overturned.
But then we all knew it was a catch. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know you're a Packer fan.
Right. It was great at the time for the Packers fans. So now they come out and they say, oh, yeah, that's a catch.
Yeah, I loved it. Once again, I loved it. Because anyone that watched football knows that that's a catch. Anyone that's watched football and played the sport knows
that's a catch. My grandma watched that game, and she's been dead for 10 years, and she thought it was a catch. Yeah, it was great.
Right.
So what I want to play is I ran this by. I was the first one to break the story to Adam Ferber, right? So the Daily Upper Decker, we don't break news. Right, we just read other people's stories and then make them funnier.
Okay,
like, remember, what was that? What was the ad back in the day when we were kids, where it was like, "We don't make a lot of the things you buy; we make a lot of the things you buy better."
So we don't
write a lot of the things that you read; we just write a lot of the things that you read better.
Yeah,
okay, that's what we do at the Daily Upper Decker.
I believe that
we don't break stories, but apparently we broke this story to the very funny Adam Ferberg, and I was like, "Hey, why don't you call in?" And he wasn't very happy about it. I was like, why don't you call in? I think our fans here at the Daily Upper Decker want to hear what you have to say about the whole Jerry Jones and especially the Dez Bryant thing. Here's what Adam Ferberg had to say.
Hey, Tommy, this is Adam Ferberg calling to let you know how I feel about this competition committee deciding that a four-year-old play or a three-year-old play, however the fuck long it is, suddenly is a catch. That was 3 years ago. The play where Dez catches the ball, he was supposed to have scored, God damn it, because the ball never touched the ground, and they decided not to call it a catch. Now they raise the rule 3 years later. What does that fix? It doesn't fix anything. I would have rather they dug their heels in the ground and let the rule be the rule. But now they come forward and say it's a catch. And I just got to say, I feel like this is the league thumbing it in the eye of Jerry. Hey, not only did we get it wrong, but now we're admitting we got it wrong years later after that perfect package that was the 14th season fell apart. I know everyone praises how the Cowboys' future is bright because of Zeke and because of that. But that season in 14 was when the line was its best, when the defense was actually at its best in terms of how it's been. And Romo was still healthy, and Dez hadn't fallen off yet. And, oh, my God, that catch being ruled a play is such fucking bullshit. Now we got the league threatening to come after Jerry next year because of how he treated it. Basically, right as Roger got mad that he didn't sign his contract fast enough, so now he's gonna. I can't believe they're gonna fine him for that. The guy basically signs his checks. Jerry signs the checks. Jerry's the reason why there's gonna be football in Vegas. Why there's gonna be football in L.A. at a nice stadium in a couple of years, and they're gonna throw that all away because they got mad about his fucking contract. The last thing the league needs is more Roger Goodell. There will be a strike if they don't get that fixed because the players got boned the last time around, and they are not signing anything where he gets that kind of power again. No fucking way. They're dumb if they do. And I'm just flabbergasted by the whole thing. I never use the word flabbergast. I hate that word, but that's how mad I am about this whole thing. And just the way the Cowboys are built, it's just going to be mediocrity for years. If they win, the league doesn't need them to win. The league needs them to be a soap opera. That's what makes them the most money. I'm like swallowing my spit. I'm so mad right now. I'm coughing on it. God damn it. Yeah, go Cowboys.
That's unbelievable. Adam Furberg, check him out on Twitter, at Adam Furberg, AdamFeuerberg. Adam Furberg, his take. You know, lifelong Cowboys fan. It really does have this thing. I love how he didn't even take one breath until he coughed at the very end there. That was like
he almost
just
choked. He almost died right there.
No, I haven't seen a Jewish kid that pissed off since, I don't know, since I saw a kid at Target on Rodeo bring up a Marvel comic movie. That it was should have been advertised. It was $8.99. It was $19.99, and they weren't budging on it. That was the last time I saw a kid throw a fit as big as that one right there. Adam Furberg, not a fan of Roger Goodell. So before we move on, is there anything else you want to say on that? Like it's kind of like the same thing. Like now that if that's a catch, then that probably means that Jesse James catch in the Steelers Patriots game that determined home field advantage. That's probably a catch.
Well, I've been saying for years the Patriots have a lot of Super Bowls with, in my opinion, strong asterisks next to them. The tuck rule. When are they going to admit the tuck rule? I mean, that's
garbage.
Yeah. That's a fumble. Come on. I hate the Raiders. That's a fumble.
But it was like it was 2001, man.
I don't care. I'm not letting
go. They're coming out. They're the Patriots. America. Yeah. You know, it's a great story.
Why did they do that? That's what I'm saying. There's BS. I'm still mad, actually. I'll take it back to the Patriots. This is before Goodell. I'll take it back to when they played the Dolphins and they brought out that Zamboni or that snowplow. So that Dolphins kicker can make that field goal. Do you remember that? Do you remember
a true
snow.
Jets fan that never lets it go over here. We get some real winners on this
show. In the snow, it's 0-0 in the fourth quarter. The Patriots call timeout, and a fucking snowplow comes out and plows where the kicker is going to or the holder is going to hold the ball.
Right, that was before we were born.
I don't care.
It's still
the NFL's been cheating for the Patriots for a long fucking time.
Nobody likes the Dolphins. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, I hate the Dolphins too. But let's call a spade here. That should have been a loss.
It's one of these things that I just realized right now that none of the guys I have on this show root for good NFL teams.
That's true.
We have Bears fans, Cowboys fans, and now Jets fans
on
the show.
We got the sixth pick in the draft. We got a great future. I don't know what this guy's talking about. Dak Prescott, great future. You know, come on.
A lot of angst in all the guests on the Daily Upper Decker here. Again, check us out every single day on dailyupperdecker.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. Right now, chatting with Colby Dant from the Sports Gambling Podcast. You can find them at Gambling Podcast on Twitter. And you can also find them at sportsgamblingpodcast.com as well. All right, so we're moving on from the NFL. I feel like we're ESPN because we just talked about the Cowboys, even though they haven't mattered for fucking 20 years. And we just started off with 15 minutes of the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm Ed Werder over here, right?
And we're going to move on in the hot mess to another basic like organization or group of sports that don't matter, just like the Dallas Cowboys. The Olympics.
Oh, yes.
The Olympics. Yes. We got to talk about the Olympics for two reasons. One, playback that I'm going to give you right here. This has to be one of the greatest like calls of all time that I've ever heard. And my question here is, how much cocaine was this announcer on? Do you know the clip I'm talking about?
I don't think so, but I like where you're headed already.
It's history here. It's history in the making. It was Jesse Diggins winning the Olympic gold in the cross country for the first time ever in USA history.
Okay.
A gold medal. Because usually it's like Norway or somebody from like one of those Scandinavian
countries
because that's how they get to work.
Yeah, Switzerland
like, you know,
or
this
something.
Isn't
yeah,
even like
yeah.
a sport for them. This is like real life. It's like, shit, I can do this. Right. I had to do this and go to work. you know, on my way to work today. So it's like, why is this isn't going to be hard? So normally it's someone from Norway. This time it was Jesse Diggins from America, and this is what it sounded like.
Country Stadium in Pyeongchang, Sweden, the U.S. and Norway come into the line.
Here comes Diggins!
On the outside, Diggins making the play around Sweden. Yes. Jesse Diggins yes. to the line.
Yes.
And it is
yes.
Jesse Diggins
goal.
Delivering a landmark moment that will be etched in U.S. Olympic history. The first ever cross-country gold medal for the U.S.
So again, that guy I think makes that was I think it was like Friday night. Yeah. That makes Charlie Sheen's Friday night yeah. seem like yeah, fucking chicken shit.
Say, man.
Compared to
how about
the,
his American pride? He put yeah. that's on a really high level right there.
And yeah, I'll tell you what, NBC really got kicked in the dick a lot for their coverage of the Olympics this year, and rightfully so. It was pretty bad every single time
just
I tuned
like,
in.
Yes, yes, yes. You're not even giving play by play at that point. You're a glorified fan at that point.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, it's great. It's like. It really is. It's like you're watching a Red Sox game, and the color analyst that they have is like yeah. a Red Sox just diehard, or like a former Red Sox player. Uh-huh. It's happened before. Like if you listen to a Packers game on the radio, uh-huh. Wayne and Larry calling the game. So Wayne is the Wayne Larrivee is the you know regular announcer, and then the color analyst is Larry. What's his tits? I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, Larry is like one of those guys. Like when Dez Bryant play happens, he's like, yes, yes. Yes, you know, just he's one of those guys that's
throwing the neutralness out of broadcasting. Right? Yeah,
well, those guys I think get pretty liquored up.
Oh, that yeah.
But that
yeah.
guy, that was you know, we're in the comedy world, you and I, you yeah, know, so yeah. we definitely have seen cocaine and we've seen yes, comics. And I've been around Pablo Francisco before. I've seen what cocaine exactly. does to someone. That was a lot of cocaine,
dude. That was fantastic. And I bet you know it's South Korea. Maybe they have some better laws towards cocaine.
Some poppy fields,
you know
or
what
something.
I mean? Exactly.
Right. I took a detour. Yeah, I mean, I'll walk to work today. Right. Just walk through the poppy fields, arms out, and just whatever. So I thought that was great. That was cross-country
That was fantastic.
Skiing.
I had not heard that. I'm actually right. very thankful for coming in to hear that. Yeah, you know
if,
what I mean?
If that was cross-country skiing, they need to get that guy in like the ski jump.
Right.
Like, you know, where they go down at like 90 miles an
exactly.
hour and then fly through the air for 2 miles. Like, they need to get that guy calling that.
Exactly, man.
And then the other thing I wanted to talk about in the Olympics is I guess it was bound to happen. I got a buddy, Svein, from Norway,
okay.
and I showed him this story, and I guess it was bound. He even said, like, it was eventually going to happen, that someone was going to be this stupid, and obviously they're going to be from the United States. So if you don't know the story we're talking about, there was a true crime author. Her name is Rebecca Morris, right? She's a New York Times best-selling true crime
wow.
author. So she does research on these stories. Now, mm-hmm. if she does the research... Like, she did the research for this Norwegian flag/Confederate flag story. Uh-huh. She said she researched it as well. If we base her research on this and then use that basis or that, you know, reasoning for her novels, they must suck shit.
Yeah.
Single one must just be, like, absolutely inaccurate. They must be terrible because this is Rebecca Morris who said she lives in Seattle and it's the Greenwood neighborhood. I don't know where the Greenwood neighborhood is. Yeah. Usually when I go to Seattle, I go to like Seattle proper or on the other side of Lake Washington. It'll be like Kirkland or yeah. you know somewhere over there, Bellevue, where you can get robbed at Nelly Fitness. It's great. Kind of fun.
Okay.
But she's an author living in Seattle, and a neighbor of hers in the Greenwood neighborhood mm-hmm. Was flying a Norwegian flag. So she gets a hold of Eric Lactis at the Seattle Times, and she says, "Hi, suddenly there is a Confederate flag flying in front of my house in my Greenwood neighborhood. It is at the northeast corner of 92nd and Palatine," which northeast is north, dash, north,
east.
Hyphen, east. And it's like, you're a fucking writer. Yeah. You don't know that
how
northeast
do you not,
is one
how
word.
Can you not get this?
Come on. So it is at the northeast corner of 92nd and Palatine, just a block west of 92nd and Greenwood Avenue North. I would love to know what this means. But, of course, don't want to knock on the door because she's a giant pussy,
yeah.
right?
I mean,
if you're an author, wouldn't you, like, knock on the door? Like, this could be yeah. your story, right?
Right?
So she goes, maybe others in the area are flying the flag. Maybe it's a story. Thank you. So, of course, Seattle Times gets this and, like, you know, other than the, you know, the two fake pot overdoses that they've been reporting at the Seattle Times, they sent over this reporter, Eric Lactis, to get the scoop on these, you know, basic cocksuckers that had the nerve to fly the Confederate flag as a form of free speech, if that, if you're into that, you know. So he goes over there, knocks on a door, and the guy goes, that's a Norwegian flag. You know,
well, I just Googled while you were talking. I Googled the Norway flag.
Right.
And I still don't – I barely see the resemblance there. I don't even really see the connection there.
So what it is, it's the colors.
Yeah.
So it's something simple. It's like what a five-year-old would deduce
Okay. If it's more like that, like the one I originally Googled – we had like this white area where you're
what the
fuck is that? You know, but if you look, okay, maybe a tiny bit, but still not really.
Yeah, I mean, maybe,
not really.
Maybe we need to know a little more about like Rebecca Morris. Like maybe she's legally blind.
Right.
Maybe she's got like a glass eye, like her left eye is a glass eye or something. Because now look at the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the Norwegian flag, it's basically
Doesn't it have like. Like
a horizontal blue cross, basically, with a red backdrop.
Stars and bars.
Of course it does. Yeah. Of course it does. Every American has seen what a Confederate flag looks like.
It's an X, first
It's an
off.
X. Yeah. It's not even a cross. It's unbelievable, right?
And the stars on it, it's a drastic difference. If you Google this, you'll see how drastic the difference is. The only thing she has...
Or if you go to the Daily Upper Decker. Don't Google it.
Yeah,
go to
sorry.
Daily Upper Decker.
Exactly.
Read the story.
Exactly. Right. But if you pull it up, there's a big difference. The only thing that she has in common is the colors.
The color scheme.
You could say, well, the next thing that's going to happen is an Ole Miss fan or alumni is going to move next door to her and have an Ole Miss flag if you ever look at the Ole Miss, you know, the Rebels.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that kind of is a play on probably the Rebels, but...
Right, it is, for sure.
But I'm saying is that you could confuse the flag with the Confederate flag if you looked at it.
Agreed. Agreed. So upon learning of her, so basically the guy says, it's a Norwegian flag. It's been out there since the start of the Olympics. I'm a proud Norwegian American. My parents emigrated here in the mid-1950s. He skippered tugboats.
I love how he's got to say this.
So now at that point, if you're Eric Lactis, you go back to Rebecca Morris and you say, hey, it's a Norwegian flag. And if you're Rebecca Morris, if you have any part of your brain working, like just a half of a percent of your brain working, like a half percentage working, you say, I'm a moron.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
So sorry for doing this.
I did not mean to do that.
But she doubles down. She doubles down on it.
Where is she from? Where is Rebecca Morris from?
I have no idea.
She all of a sudden is a connoisseur on the fucking Confederate flag?
Well, the whole point was that she's a true crime author. So you're about research, and you're about looking it up. So she says, upon learning of her mistake, Morris says, are you kidding me? Well, it does look like the Norwegian flag, the Confederate flag. Maybe that's the story. We're so stressed by all the things political that we see things that aren't there. It's like, no, the story here is that you're a fucking moron.
Exactly.
So what's crazy is she said that she researched it. Like, no, just stop and just say, my bad.
Wait, so at this point, is she assuming that he switched flags at this point?
Yeah, right. Because it's not even close.
So he had a Confederate flag, and then when someone, the authorities came, he has like he quickly tells the kid, hey, Steve, get out there and change the flag.
Change the flag, yeah. As soon as someone's there. I agree. That's it. They're not even really close. They're
ridiculous.
Similar colors, and that's about it. So instead, she comes out and she's like, "Ah, you know what? I researched it. No, don't say that.
Yeah, that makes you look even worse.
It does.
It's like just give it up. Stop talking.
So it's like
stop
every single talking. One of your books. If you research that, like I'm gonna now look at your book and say Exhibit A. This is garbage without even reading it because you can't even tell the difference between a Confederate flag, which features a blue X with stars in it." Compared to the Norwegian flag, which is a horizontal blue cross.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can't tell the difference. So I was saying, it's saying using that, the similar deduction there, she would say that, like, the dude who stars in the Black Panther and Rick Ross are the same people.
Yes, yes.
Because of the same color scheme. They have the same color scheme.
But the best part of it is really the doubling down. The very Trump-like move, by the way, is, like, just the double down. Even though you know you're wrong, you're just like, oh, well, this is... No, this was what I saw.
Right.
This is it. I did my research.
Right.
Even though you know you're wrong. I love the move.
Right. It's almost like, you know, when a guy comes over and complains, like when I was in college, my buddy Tommy graduated from Oshkosh which is no small feat. Not everyone who goes to Oshkosh graduates. It's hard. You know, you're drinking eight nights a week.
Okay.
You know, so he graduates, and his neighbor is this old ornery man who's like, you know, hasn't been happy since like Lyndon Johnson was in office.
Okay.
He got us on the right foot. Nixon fucked it up. So anyway, we're out there, and I'm DJing his party. Like, I've got like two little Discmans and like a little Radio Shack mixer, you know?
Okay.
So we're out there, and I'm on the mic, and I'm like, Tommy Thayer graduated. Unbelievable. It only took him 6 years, blah, blah, blah. Making fun of him, whatever.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the old man comes out, and he's like, I heard what you just said about me, and it's not funny.
So he thinks,
and everyone looks, and we're like, we didn't say anything about you right now. We were talking about Tommy, who just graduated. And he looks over, and he's like, even though he's just wrong, he's like, well, you're still playing that music pretty damn loud. And it's like, no, you just lost.
So
you
didn't come out here and say that about
my
the music.
My apologies. My apologies. Yeah. Turn around. You're wrong. Just turn around and go. So, yeah, I think that's the biggest part of the story, where she's just like, should have said, like, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you get me, if I do something wrong, you know, if I misspell your, that's a big pet peeve of mine, your and you are, you know, the apostrophe.
I mess it up. I mess it up often.
If I mess it up and someone's like, by the way, your is your.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to, like, drop the ego.
That's the thing. I mean, come on. You got to know when you're wrong. You know what I mean? And I feel like not only that, in our society, more and more, you know, I feel like most people are reluctant to even say that once they're wrong. They don't say they're wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? Look at Mark McGuire. You know?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, take Rafael Palmeiro and these guys that are just
right.
Like, no, I did not do this. And it's like, bro, the science has told us it doesn't lie. Science doesn't lie.
Last time we checked, science is good.
Yeah.
The last time we checked, yeah. the craziest thing too is that, like, I knew nothing of Rebecca Morris before this.
Yeah.
Right.
But now you do.
Now you, like, you kind of look up. So, okay, she's written some true crime books.
Now when you're at LAX at the newsstand, you're looking what to read on your next 5-hour flight. You're not going to read Rebecca Morris. Am I correct?
You are damn straight. Damn straight. But what's so crazy is that when you put everything together, and you're like, wow, this chick is just an idiot. And you read this story.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you realize, but in America, she's a best-selling author.
The irony is amazing.
It's crazy, isn't it? All right. Are you ready? Let's move on to to why you're here.
All right. Let's do this, man.
Again, welcome Colby Dant to the Daily Upper Decker. Of course, find us on dailyupperdecker.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. We've got Colby Dant from the Sports Gambling Podcast. You can find them on Twitter, at Gambling Podcast, and online, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. All right. So the reason why you're here is because you are a college football guru. You're a college basketball guru.
Yeah.
So college basketball is obviously more important right now.
Definitely.
Unless you live in Alabama.
Definitely. Right. But right. Alabama basketball. Auburn's going to make the tournament as like a 2 or 3 seed. Alabama's going to make the tournament most
likely.
They
got crushed today by Florida.
I saw that.
Florida
and
made
and
them
I picked
their bitch.
Bama. I mean, here's another thing I'll tell you before we get into it is that if you are a gambling man, I post... We bet, me and my brother bet every game for the Sports Gambling Podcast, and we publish it every morning against the spread. We make the picks, and we're over 50%, both of us, over 50% for the season, but we also pick our locks, and we're way over 50% for our locks. So if you are
a
gambling man.
And this is like
man,
free, like I don't have to call
picks,
your 1-900 number
none
and like
of that
give
you bullshit where you're talking
yeah.
to some Italian guy in New York City. You know, who probably doesn't know anything about the sport, but he just does a 50-50. He picks half Villanova one for 20 listeners or 20 people that pay the money, and then Butler for the other 20 people. So he takes the vig, right?
So there's a great when I used to work at a couple of radio stations in Milwaukee, and one of the stations I worked for was Laser 103. Now it's the Hog 102.9.
Okay.
And Bob and Brian, they're still the morning show. They are hysterical guys, and they're sports guys. Steve Zabin, Steve Zabin out of Washington D.C. Right?
Really? That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's national.
Okay.
Like
he
filled in for Jim Rome a couple of times, and it was so funny, like every time he filled in for Rome, people would call in and they would say, hey man, I listen to you all the time on like Bob and Brian, whatever, and he'd be like, that's great, thank you, like, you know, but
yeah.
He's a very popular dude.
Okay.
And everyone loves him in Wisconsin. So called in as their sports guy every single day, calls in, and he played them some clips from A Real Sports with Brian Gumbel,
mm-hmm.
about like the call-in numbers, like, you know, these 1-900, the Las Vegas touts.
Oh, no way.
And
man,
the greatest line from it, you got to go back if you can find it online. It's Real Sports of Brian Gumbel, and it's the Las Vegas, like, just betting services. So they're talking about, like, this guy who was like, I would have won money, but you were charging me so much for all these bets right, that I didn't have enough. Like, I kept losing. So one of the lines was, the guy was like, I've seen guys just flip a coin while a guy's got like $5,000 on a game. He's just like flipping a coin, bing.
Yeah.
And at the end, he's like, you know, they say like whatever to make people like happy or just like to sell them on their picks. And the best line was, do yourself a favor, go to the store, get yourself a cigar, a roll of toilet paper, get yourself a cigar, a six pack of beer, and a roll of toilet paper, because when you see this game, you're gonna shit. And that's just one of, like, you know, and he's got that like Jersey accent, you know, that like just totally sells it.
Well, dude, I you know, as a young teenager, when growing up, that when sports gambling was starting to hit, you know, the offshore accounts in Costa Rica and stuff, Pinnacle Sports and stuff, I was trying to gamble, and I fell into these traps of these idiots. And then I sat there. I remember writing down what the games I picked, and then I would listen to this 1-800 number or some number like that. And
I got information.
Yeah, and I would disagree with most of them. And I felt like more times than not I was right, because here's something. I don't think they actually cover the games. You know what I mean? They're just picking. Like, I watch Long Beach State against Cal State Northridge. You know what I mean? Like, so there's a difference. Once you start watching and learning of these things, you know, you learn that they're morons. But my point is, we have free picks on Twitter every day. I got a lot of people that have won a lot of money. I had a guy hit an 8-game parlay. Still hasn't sent me any of that.
Yeah, did he send you anything?
Nothing,
like that?
Nothing.
Dude, when I hit that 6-teamer, I gave the guy behind the counter $40.
Really? That's all I want.
And he's like, oh, dude, Dad, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that.
But
we did
have a guy from Fresno send us some beer that, you know.
See, that's great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What kind of beer was it, though?
Some local brewery, and he's going to kill me for not remembering the name of it now.
But that's okay. Yeah, okay. That's okay. All right. That local brewery. He's like, he sent me a six-pack of Schlitz.
It was fantastic beer, man. It's some IPAs, you know.
Yeah, good. Yeah, otherwise it's like, you know, you get some, like, shitty beer. Like, maybe even, like, a Pabst. Like, if someone would send me a six-pack of Pabst, it'd be like, hey, thanks for the runs.
I should really know the name of the beer, and I feel really bad right now, man.
All right, you look it up. You look up the name. I'm going to get you started here. So this is our college basketball, like, preview. Like, you know, preview of the tournament preview.
Yes. So it's like a conference tournament preview.
Sure.
In a way.
Because we have to tell you, first off, the Big Ten tournament is usually, it's like the championship game is usually the last game played on Selection Sunday. But this year, they're playing it this week.
What's going on with this?
So they booked Madison Square Garden. They wanted to do Madison Square Garden. Well, the Big East tournament's been played there for how many years?
Yeah.
A thousand?
Yeah, an eternity. Yeah, exactly. When they had Syracuse and all those classic matchups. UConn was in the Big East.
Yeah, when the Aztecs and Incans were like getting together, like they were doing it at the Big East tournament. They still couldn't get in the Madison Square Garden because the Big East tournament was going on.
Right.
So the for whatever reason, the Big Ten tournament was like, we need to get this East Coast coverage, you know, and Madison Square Garden is where we're going to do it, instead of like just saying, hey, we'll take Lucas Oil.
Yeah.
Stadium.
Well, dude, I mean, didn't they always play in Chicago or Indianapolis?
Indianapolis is usually where it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Chicago United Center would have been good.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Even Detroit. You got Michigan and Michigan State. Right there.
Whatever. Just it doesn't matter.
Omaha.
Right. Wherever you want, just so you can have it in that weekend. Because now what's going to happen is these teams, like let's say Michigan State, loses.
Yeah.
Before they go, they're going to have to scrimmage. They're going to have to call up some like goons in East Lansing and say, "Hey, we need to scrimmage."
Dude, what they even started their interseason matchups, their conference
early.
Play?
Yep.
Really early. I feel like the first week of December they were playing each other.
It was, yeah. I think it was like the last week of December, where usually it'd be like the first week of January where they're playing.
What was their reasoning behind that?
I have no idea, other than the fact that it's like I think that it has to do with the fact that Madison Square Garden is East Coast. And they want like that East Coast coverage.
Well, the guys who got Rutgers is in the Big Ten now. Maybe they're in Maryland. Maybe they're trying to play to that.
Rutgers is in the Big Ten. It doesn't mean that they're in the Big Ten. Yeah, they show up. They show up. They put a couple thousand people in the seats, and that's about it.
Barrel House Brewing, by the way.
Barrel House Brewing.
I'm sorry, Matt. Thank you for all the shipments of Barrel House Brew you've sent us.
All right. Yeah. Barrel House Brewing. What's the best one? Do they do like Pilsners, lagers, or more?
I think they do them. They do them all. I've only had a few different ones of them, but you know, the IPA. I'm an IPA guy. You know, you an IPA guy?
Matt, you send me some Barrel House Brewing, and I'll fucking drink them in one day. Not like Colby Dan.
There we go. There we go.
Although Colby Dan isn't going to send you winning picks if he drinks every single beer in one day. So all right, so the Big Ten tournament. That's you got to get it all in this weekend, which is kind of nice because it's like now they're going to get, you know, they're the main game.
Yeah.
They're the main game in town, the Big Ten tournament. But at the same time, when it's all said and done, you're going to have like a week and a half off. And how rusty are you going to be going
into
the tournament?
Well, not only
that
if
counts.
You're a bubble team, say like Nebraska or Penn State, and I mean, they clearly have to win a couple games in the Big Ten tournament to even make the tournament. But if you do, let's say Nebraska wins two games, hypothetical here, and they lose, they're on the bubble. But then you don't play for a week and a half. Do those people in that room, the committee...
forget?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You have a week and a half, and then you might see a USC team on the bubble, you know, play a game that day that they're picking the picks. Because, you know, they pick them Sunday night. Sometimes there's Sunday championship games or Saturday night games.
Right.
So you're talking...
So it's just more fresh in
the
mind.
Yeah.
You're going to have one guy who's like, I'm going to be honest, I forgot that Nebraska was even a state.
Exactly, right? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out. Mm-hmm. I would just think that's just natural human...
Wisconsin, you know. Yeah, I'm sorry. To W, I cut off at S. You know, it's too late in the alphabet.
They're Badgers, though, man. They're struggling.
That's a bad year. I'll tell you what, to keep the corrupt NCAA off of their backs, you got to have that one year in there, right? The Badgers once, the football team, got hit with an unadvertised shoe deal thing. So many Badgers missed like one game. They ended up losing a road game to Cincinnati that year, and it derailed their national title hopes at college football. And it was a deal that all students got, but everyone just knew that students got this deal. You didn't have to be an athlete, whatever, but because it was an unadvertised deal, so many guys on the football team got a one-game suspension.
I mean, the NCAA is, I mean, you know this, they're just a joke. I mean, you're seeing it right now with the way these things are going down and these sanctions and everything.
Yeah. Which is great foreshadowing into our next topic.
Well, I mean, how ridiculous. I mean, I love how the FBI's got to take this on, by the way. I think it's hilarious that, you know, we can't get tipped off to a guy that's on a no-fly list in Orlando, but he can still go buy a gun, you know, but they can crack Sean Miller's 100 grand case. You know what I mean? That's fantastic work, guys.
Or did they?
Yeah.
Because
or even if they did.
Yeah, exactly. Reportedly it is. So that's what I want to talk about.
He's still denying
right now,
that, by the way.
Like, what are the odds, do you think? You've watched all this college basketball. What are the odds that any of these teams, nothing's going to happen during the tournament, right? It's not going to be like all of a sudden I take Duke to go all the way,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden they're like, "Nah, Duke's been hit with sanctions. Coach K is out. Like, you know, he's not going to coach any games."
Yeah.
You know, what were the odds that it happens during the tournament? Everyone's just going to play as is, right? But as Sean Miller right now, Sean Miller's like, "I'm not coaching."
Yeah, they got to have something against Arizona, by the way, right?
Well, all right. So
Yahoo,
if you're the
is,
NCAA,
right?
If Arizona, have you been to Tucson?
I have been to Tucson.
It's fucking garbage, right?
Yeah, Tempe's nice. Tucson shit.
Correct. Correct, right? So the fact that you get better recruits in Arizona, they've been paying players for years.
Yeah.
How else are you going to get, especially nowadays?
Damon Stoudemire. Yeah, all those guys back for 20 years, they've probably been playing players. You know
any
I mean?
Of these? Oh, yeah. For the longest time. It's like, how are you going to get someone that close to the Mexican border, especially these days with like all these rich parents are like, you know, they're going to send their kids down there. And I'm not saying that every basketball player's parents are rich because that's obviously far from the case. But it's like, do you think every parent who watches the news says, you know what? I want to send my kid to
Tucson.
El Paso.
Yeah, exactly.
Tucson.
Essentially, very similar city. I've been to both.
Right. Yeah. They're both garbage,
you,
right?
If I blindfolded any of you listeners out there, you would not know what city is which if I did that to you.
Like, damn, it's hot and it's brown here. What the hell is going on? So it's like, what do you think? Of course they've been paying players to go to Tucson.
Yeah.
Of course. Even like now, if you did a football thing, why on earth would you ever go to Notre Dame?
Yeah.
It's in the middle of nowhere. It's cold as fuck. Every day is cold.
I believe, and you might know this better than me because you grew up in the Midwest, but I've been to South Bend, but I remember it being really hard to purchase alcohol. Isn't it like dry?
That's Purdue, Lafayette.
Okay.
South Bend, it might just be like it's on a game day. It's impossible to exit the freeway. it's brutal.
Okay.
No one in their right mind today, in the 70s, you would have gone just because of how prestigious it was.
Yeah, you got Joe Montana.
It has lost its charm. So now if you're going there because you're getting paid Mike Golic, his booster dollars are going into your pocket.
And check this out. Back in the day, they used to have the contract with NBC, which they still have, but that doesn't mean anything now because satellite television came along before they, which was a huge cheating thing, I thought. They had every game televised. Mm-hmm. They were the only team in the nation to have every game televised. Mm-hmm. So that would be one way they could maybe say, oh, well, you know, Montana wants to come play here or, you know, Rick Meyer or whatever. But now that every Alabama game is on TV.
Right.
You know, every Clemson game is on TV. So you don't have to, I get your point. That's what I'm saying. I'm buying it.
So, it's ridiculous that all of a sudden it's coming out now. And like you said, that the FBI is involved in this. Because
I just love that.
Come on. It's been going on for so long for all these teams.
We all know it, too. And I don't know what your feelings are. I personally think the players should be paid, the student-athletes.
I don't think they should get paid. And
really?
Here's my argument.
Okay.
I don't have an argument. There is no argument.
They make billions for the university, and they can't just give them a little bit of cash, even like
$100,000.
Yeah, right.
Players would play for $100,000.
Exactly. Right. I mean, something that you're 18 years old.
Which it seems to be like the amount that this Christian Dawkins guy seems to be like the big name, and like a lot of these guys, like Miles Bridges at Michigan State, was like, I don't even know who the hell that is.
Yeah.
Like if he was in a room with me right now. Well, like, I don't know who that is, but I'm being associated with him.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like you have these things, and this is common from what I understand. I have friends that, by the way, former sports agents. One of them's an assistant athletic director at TCU. He'll tell me how these things go. You basically are so sought. You want these players so bad, you'll go into whatever they go. You'll try to basically follow them, mm-hmm. and present yourself and pick up their tab. They have no idea that. So okay, if you're at the TGI Fridays, which I know Tommy's always at, right?
The TGI Fridays. I just keep going in there looking for Magic Johnson. Right. I'm like, his name is on the building here.
What's going on?
He's got to be in here, right? Isn't he a chef?
I'd like to speak to your manager.
He's washing his hands though, right? I can't get that hip. I can't get the AIDS, man. I got a kid on the way. I can't get that.
Okay, but look, you're there. So let's say you're there. You're there with your girlfriend, your wife, whatever. And all of a sudden, someone shows up, introduces themselves, says hello, and next thing you know, they tell the waiter. They don't even have to tell you. The waiter comes over and says, Mr. So-and-so picked up your tab. You're just going to be like, oh, right on, right? Especially when you're broke.
I'll be like, great, dude. Does he need to see my penis?
Yeah, what's going on?
Because I'll show it to him.
But I'm saying, essentially, this is what happens in so many of these cases. And I thought it was terrible journalism by Yahoo and by ESPN that they can throw that into the same thing as receiving $100,000, even though we don't even know that truly happened. But
well, especially when it comes to ESPN.
Yeah,
again, the Daily Upper Decker is becoming more of a reliable news source.
Much more reliable.
Than ESPN.
Much
it is unbelievable.
Reliable.
And who would have thought
when
you get Mickey Mouse as your vice president and Goofy as your chief financial officer,
right? That's very
that all
true.
Of a sudden the stories would start losing their legitimacy.
Dude,
it's unbelievable.
ESPN took a toll then. But, I mean, to throw that, I thought they really did Michigan State and a lot of those other schools a disservice by throwing them in there.
So for those of you who don't know what Colby's talking about, basically ESPN and Yahoo Sports were all over it, all over the story that's been just killing the NCAA, and it's been so illegal. The big story at Michigan State was that Miles Bridges had to reimburse to a charity of his choice $40 for accepting a meal. $40. And,
guys,
that is just so wrong.
That's the case. Someone bought him $40 worth of food. Right. I mean, how pathetic is that?
Well, it's a bigger story than Larry Nassar.
yeah, exactly.
You know, raping.
Exactly. Yeah, how many people?
Raping how many girls at Michigan State throughout the year. Jeez. So, but it's the $40. As long as he reimburses that $40, at least we're back on track here in society and with the NCAA, we're back and we can actually have the tournament. But, I mean, it's if you look at, like, the ESPN story with Sean Miller. So, basically, I think what happened is Yahoo Sports was like, look at my dick. Yeah. Look at us. Look at us. We're out here with the story. And ESPN was like, well, I want you to see my dick, too. So they started jumping in on the Sean Miller thing.
Yeah.
And they said that someone, their sources told them that Sean Miller was actually on the phone. So I think if I had to make an educated guess here, I think what happens
I don't
is
think
like
he's
at
dumb
Auburn.
First off.
Auburn, Chuck Person was doing that
shit.
So you have Bruce Pearl, and then you had Chuck Person working out the shoe deals and working out everything with the agent. If there was going to be a payment going to someone, Chuck Person was doing that, not Bruce Pearl. Especially after Bruce Pearl got hit at Tennessee.
Exactly. Well, he learned, fuck, I better, you know, do I think he knew of this?
I think he knows shit's going on.
I think he knows, but I bet you he's like, hey, Chuck, you do what you have to do. Do not tell me. Do not fucking tell me.
Right. So, and I think that's the same thing at like Arizona. So if you think Sean
and Louisville, I think.
Right. Yeah. If Pitino's been in the game long enough.
The sex parties. Come on, man.
Pitino is probably there. Yeah. But he's probably just sitting outside jerking off outside of the house.
They don't want to sleep with him after that story about the waitress, you know, the 1 minute man or 10 second man or two pump man.
Rick Pitino, poor guy. Anyway, with the Sean Miller case, ESPN is saying that a source leaked to them an FBI wiretap of Sean Miller saying, like, okay, so $100,000 and DeAndre Ayton will play at Arizona. No coach is stupid enough to do that.
Yeah, that's
what I'm
saying.
You can't tell me.
I really doubt that he said that. I really doubt. I mean, if that happened, he had to be hammered. You know what I mean? Like, he had to be hammered.
That Olympics announcer was.
Exactly.
Just like, let's go, give me out a phone. I'll make it happen tonight.
Like, I'm in Tucson. Fuck. You know what I mean? Like,
so what happened after that? So ESPN comes out and they started listing dates. Like, it happened in 2017. And then they made a correction. Like, no, it actually happened in 2016. And then all these people were debunking that. Like,
just
hey,
terrible
it
journalism.
It couldn't have happened.
Just terrible journalism.
It was just kind of like, ah. Because then they were like, it happened in the spring of 2016. Yeah. And then their next correction was like, sometime in 2016.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah, they even removed spring, which consists of 3 months. They couldn't even get it right. A 3 month time frame.
They're not covering Miles Bridges' lunch. What he had that day, right? It was mahi mahi. It was Olive Garden.
Yeah, exactly. No. It was some kind of Italian. No, it wasn't Italian at all. It was actually Chipotle. The big names though, like Duke is involved.
But
in this.
I think Duke is another one like Miles Bridges. From what I understand, they haven't clarified, but
okay.
I believe it's a meal. An owner or an agent, I'm sorry, not an owner, an agent bought I can't recall the guy's name right now, a meal.
Wendell?
Yes, Wendell Carter.
Okay.
From what I understand, it's another meal situation, just like Miles Bridges.
Well, Krzyzewski came out and he said, it's a horrible time for the game. The game has been on its knees begging for change for years. Sometimes, unless something horrible happens, you just don't change. We need to change. We need to take a look at amateurism and define it differently, which sounds like something you would say as a coach if your team was part of an FBI investigation.
Yeah, right?
<That's what> it is. Oh, yeah, we got to change this shit.
Well, dude, I mean, the NCAA, come on. My problem with the NCAA is they know the shit goes on. They only look where they want to look. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I've always been bothered by the NCAA and the way they handle things. I mean, Jerry Tarkanian, classic guy, sued the NCAA and won because they just had a vendetta out against Tarkanian. And one of the great things that he said that always cracks me up was he goes, oh, Kentucky paid their players and the NCAA caught them. That means they'll give Cleveland State another year of sanctions. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that was fantastic because they never – the big boys, like, look at North Carolina this past year, North Carolina basketball.
What, with academics?
Yeah, basketball and football, I believe. And they came down, by the way, the NCAA came down on the women's basketball. You see the men's basketball and the men's football won in court. They took it to court, and somehow they basically, the dollar
Your
bill
Honor,
won.
We are making so much money that you just it would just be so harmful to
I just thought that was so classic, though. It's like, well, the women's North Carolina's women's basketball is suspended. It's like, oh, the women's, because it doesn't make any revenue.
They finally came down on Duke. Football.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's just a joke, the NCAA.
So, but do you think, like, if, like, these big-name teams, like, let's say there's, like, a Syracuse or, you know, Michigan State, Duke, UCLA, well, even UCLA isn't as relevant anymore, but, like, in Arizona, they're usually,
they're,
you know,
they're top
a big-time
10 almost,
program.
Yeah,
but, like, any of these,
Kansas.
Like, that would be a big one. Like, let's say they're involved. At that point, will the NCAA change things up? Because you almost can't just if you go back and you look at some of the teams that have been like suspended or couldn't participate in the postseason for X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Some of this might trump that. The meals, obviously. Like, we hit that on the head to where it's like, this is garbage.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're digging, there's nothing.
But if
there.
It's really $100,000, I mean, you got to think Arizona's going to get a pretty big. I mean, Louisville, too. Louisville already got this.
Right. Well, the Louisville, if it's like the whole two, what was that? It was like a $2 million shoe deal, and it was all going in the Pitino's pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, what a guy.
Well, good for him. Yeah. That guy's a hell of a negotiator.
Yeah. Right?
They should the Negotiator 2, starring Kevin Spacey and Rick Pitino.
But no, you're right. What happens if it is Kansas? What happens is, I mean, the FBI seems like they have a lot more ammo. What happens if it's another sports agency, by the way? I think it's multiple agencies that this is going to happen to.
It's not like it's never just a one one trick pony that's going on. And I think that it's going to be one of those things where so many teams are going to be involved, where the NCAA is going to be like, okay, we can't have a tournament without Duke, Michigan State, Kansas.
It's like, what's going on here?
The number one seed is Long Beach State.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I would argue, though, that you know, because one of the things I loved about ESPN is everyone was so, like, their analysts were so outraged at this, even though they were breaking that shitty news that wasn't even accurate. They were so outraged. How could you damage the sport? And my thing is, they're paying the players. Who cares? I want to watch the basketball games.
Right.
I could give a shit if they're paying the players. I knew that they were paying the players. You know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't know the amounts. I didn't know how they were doing it. But I knew. I still like when I saw USC was on that list, I was like, come on. Dude, Tommy, do we all know? I mean, football, they got caught a couple years ago. They're going to stop? No.
I lived with guys when I lived in Arlington in 2005.
Uh-huh.
And they were huge Virginia Tech guys. And they had buddies who were on the basketball team. Not the football team. The basketball team. And every single time they came back into the locker room when they were done, there was an envelope of cash waiting for them. They
all dude.
And if that was Virginia Tech basketball.
Yeah, they was never even making the tournament back then.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, this is like the Seth Greenberg era, you know? So it's like if Virginia Tech was getting the cash, it was like was each Duke player coming back to their locker and there was an envelope of cash, keys to a Mercedes, two hookers.
It would be that simple, but you would think all these teams are getting paid.
Right.
So I just love it how they come down on the like, you know, they're like, how could this sport be this, you know, and they're so upset with the sport. And it's like, hey, you got to realize your audience could give a shit. Maybe some 75-year-old guy who's, you know, a diehard Kansas fan or an Arizona fan is really upset about this. But I think your average Arizona fan doesn't give a shit.
Right. I honestly don't give a shit. Yeah. What I do give a shit about is getting paid.
Yes.
Right. I do give a shit about that. And that's why you're here. Before we close things out here on the Daily Upper Decker podcast, find us online on Daily Upper Decker, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. The tournament's right around the corner.
Yes.
You're here because you're a college football expert. Talk to me. Give me three teams that I need to...
College basketball, too.
What did I say? College football?
Yeah.
Well, you're a college football expert and a college basketball expert. Yeah. Give me three teams come tourney time that I need to be looking at.
Okay.
That I might not know about right now.
Off the radar, if you want like a... This is a little tough because the conference tournaments haven't happened yet. I like East Tennessee State. They do play in a deep, deep Southern Conference that has Wofford, who won at North Carolina earlier this year.
Okay.
Furman, who's pretty good. UNC Greensboro. These are quality teams. If you look at them, they're all like 25 or 22 and 4 or something to that extent, where they're good. It's a front-loaded conference. So they have to win their conference tournament because they don't play enough heavyweights to just get an at-large bid.
Right.
But I do think if they get in, their athleticism, they're a dangerous team.
Would they be like, what, like a 13 probably?
Yeah, 12 somewhere. Or 13, 12 at best probably.
Okay.
But I think probably more so 13, 14.
All right, so there's one team there. Give me one team that's going to be like a top four team that you're like, doesn't deserve to be there, going to go out early.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say the Blue Devils.
Duke.
I got a lot of concern about Duke and the way they play. Now, I will say... This is probably a tournament that is way more open than a lot that I can... Probably the most
open... Virginia is the number one seed.
I also
agree.
No, they're good. Yeah, they're, exactly. And Tony Bennett has a history of folding in tournament play. But I would say every single team has a shot. You know, I mean, obviously, I think Villanova and Michigan State are kind of putting themselves at an elite level where the rest of the country is not. But... Duke is a team that, to me, is up and down. Sure, they have enough talent to go deep, and maybe if they get hot, they could do it. But I have a lot of concern about their defense, a lot of concern about their rebounding. I just think they could, if they get an athletic team that can play defense, I think it's a dangerous out for them.
So you heard it here first on the Daily Upper Decker. East Tennessee State all the way in 2018.
Yes.
Duke losing in the first round, no matter who they play.
Watch out for Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. Okay.
Yeah, but
even though they got
down.
Spanked by 30 points tonight.
I think that's good for them.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's good for them.
All right. Well, Colby Dant, Thank you so much for joining us. You can find him again on Twitter at Gambling Podcast.
Yes, part of the, and my Twitter handle personally is at the Colby D. You know that.
Are there more than one Colby D?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what happened there. I don't know. I
just, the Colby D.
I didn't know Twitter was going to hit like that. You know what I mean? I think there was another Colby D. Yeah.
I was funny Tommy.
It was a long time ago, and I just said the Colby. I think I tried to do Colby D, and someone else had Colby D. So I said, you know what? Fuck this guy. The Colby D.
All right.
Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.